Hallelujah. Ask, if you will, to get your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles.
All right.
Hallelujah. The title of the message is, The Battle Is Not Yours, But God's. 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to do different scriptures in it. The end of King James, I'm going to do it this morning. Chapter 20, starting verse number 1. And it came to pass also after this that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some and told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazarmutamor, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. I'm going to skip on to verse number 12. Our God wilt thou judge them, for they have no might against this great company. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all ye Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse number 17, You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And skipping down to verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, so that they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to slay them and destroy them, and everyone helped destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance of both riches and dead bodies, and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in carrying it of the spoil, it was so much. So these three armies were arrayed against Jehoshaphat. And we know the battle plan that God gave him was to send the praisers out. And as they send the praisers out and started praising the Lord, then the armies started, you know, fighting each other. Now, he said some important things. One is, we have no might to stand against this great company that is coming against us. We need to get to the place, if we want the Lord to fight our battles, that we understand we're no match in ourselves. Your intellect is not, you're not smart enough to figure out the right solution for your problem all by yourself. You'll mess it up. If you just get just the intellect in it, I promise you, you're not smart enough for what the devil can send your way. You're not strong enough in your physical body for what the attacks of the enemy could send against you. But it's got to be about God. It's all God. We've got to realize, just like he did, it's just too much for us. And we don't know what to do. And you know, we don't know what to do sometimes. We absolutely don't know what to do. And when we get to that place, that's when God can fight our battles. But our eyes are upon you. We can't solve all the problems by ourselves. We don't have answers to every question. John 15 and 5 says, Apart from me, you can do nothing. One of the keys to receiving anything from God is entire dependence on Him. We are to lean on, rely on, and depend entirely on God. Now, Zechariah 4 and 6 says, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to read that. I'm going to read it to you in contemporary English. So don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my spirit. Zerubbabel, that mountain in front of you will be leveled to the ground. Hang on. That problem that you're looking at right now will be leveled to the ground if you depend on the Spirit of God. He'll fight your battle for you. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how long it's been there. I'm telling you, God is saying, you depend on my Spirit, and I'll level that thing, and you won't even know what happened to it or how it happened. You can't figure out, how did it go away like that? How did it vanish? How did it just collapse? But God said, I'll do it. I'll make a way when there seems to be no way. It won't be in front of you anymore. It'll be leveled. See, we take the weight of the problems and the burdens off of ourselves and put it all on Him. That's what He wants us to do. What battles are arrayed against you right now? Cancer, depression, addiction, emotional problems, mental problems, physical pain, relationship problems, marriage problems, job problems, financial problems. The battle isn't yours. It belongs to God. You're not in this by yourself. Hang on. Everybody look at your neighbor. Point at your neighbor. And say, you're not in this by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. You're not in this by yourself. Now see, we all go through problems. Everybody in here is actually going through problems right now. Every one of us. Some of you may feel like you're going through hell. I know, you ever felt that? I have. I know Winston Churchill had a statement. He said, if you're going through hell, keep going. I like that. Keep going. We're not alone. God is right there with us. It may feel like in your battle that you're all alone, but the truth is it's His battle and you're never alone. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13 and 5 in the Amplified Classic Edition says, for He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Joshua 1 and 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is with you. Maybe somebody is running their mouth against you. Look around. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm sure it's not you. That's a good thing, isn't it? Maybe a friend has turned into an enemy. They call that a frenemy. A frenemy. But God will avenge you if you don't avenge yourself. How many of you have ever gotten in the way of God? See, now some of y'all have never gotten in the way of God. Isaiah 54 and 17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Okay, that I debated about whether to give this one, but I'm going to give it anyway. It's poking fun at me. Not really fun, but I was visiting somebody in the hospital one day. And when you visited in the hospital, I'm not talking about a minister. I'm just talking about anyone of us that visits somebody in the hospital. We're doing the work of the Lord. And, you know, I was just there to lift them up and to encourage them in some way and show them support. And this was years and years and years ago. And was in there and talking to this person. I believe it was me and Pastor Sharon together, I believe. And there was this lady that I hadn't seen since I was a little kid. And she looked over at me and she said, man, she said, you are so fat now. And I said, thank you very much. I hadn't noticed. I didn't even know it. My God. I said, no, I think it was a bee sting. No, I didn't say that. But I was like, and she, I'm trying to pray for this person in the hospital. And she just goes on and on and on. And I remember I left the hospital that day and I said, Lord, I know I was doing what you wanted me to do. But I said, I kind of wish I'd have done it at another time. I said, oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I felt like I had just, Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we all go through it, and we all at times do it to one another, hopefully unintentionally, but sometimes we do it. Sometimes as Christian people, we're rude and we're critical. That day, it's a miracle. I didn't say anything. Normally I would have. Normally they would have got me into strife, but I was silent. And that's one of the keys to letting God fight your battles. And I don't mean to pretend that that I do that every time, because I don't, because I get in the flesh just like anybody else. But that particular day, I didn't let the enemy pull me in. I didn't say anything. And you know, you may be hurting sometimes, and sometimes you'll vent and you'll say the wrong thing. And that thing that you vented will be there for years and years and years. And you know, you were just, you let your emotions get too much, like we all have done. But we get pulled into skirmishes a lot of times we shouldn't be in. And it's because we open our mouth. I open my mouth. You open your mouths. By the way, it's not the person. It's the spirit that's behind the person. See, there's a spirit that was behind that person that says, no, I don't like the work of the Lord being done. I don't like anybody going to the hospital and visiting somebody else in the hospital and praying for people at the hospital, so I'm going to make them have a bad day. And to be honest with you, I did have a bad day. You know, but it was my own fault that I had the bad day. It was a choice that I made. I let those words affect me. And I didn't have to do that. So what battles are you fighting right now? Maybe there are words that's been said in the past. Maybe words spoken over you when you were a child. Things that were done to you as a child. I'm going to just give a bunch of different stuff. I was working in radio one time. And I don't think I've ever told this. There was a man that was over me. And after I had come off the radio, he started telling me how I wasn't doing it right. I was new at it. I didn't know what I was doing really. And he was really critiquing me very critically. And it's not to say we don't need critiquing. It's just sometimes you have to be careful how you do it. And anyway, he was telling me I needed to change my voice. I needed to hype my voice up, you know, like other radio announcers do. And I need to, you know, do that false voice. And I needed to do this. And I needed to change that. And I needed to change that. And I remember feeling terrible. I didn't say anything. There again. Wow, two times. That's amazing. That's a miracle in itself that I didn't say stuff two times there. But as we were finishing up and coming out of the building, the station manager pulled up in his car. He didn't hear anything that we said. And he pulled up. He walked over to us because he was going into the building. And he looked right over at me and he said, I want to tell you something. I said, okay. He said, don't change anything that you're doing. He said, I've been in radio for a long time. And he said, don't change your voice. Don't let other people try to get you to change your voice. Don't change the way you do things. He said, you keep doing it the way you're doing it. That's your style. You do it that way, and it's working for you. And I was like, the other person that had just done that was standing right beside me and knew that this man just pulled up in the car, and he did not see or hear anything that was said or done. And I'm like, God Almighty, woo! Hallelujah. One time I kept my mouth shut and you immediately fought my battle for me. Immediately. I wish I could keep my mouth shut all the time. Remember. Isaiah, this scripture bubbled up. There's a prophetic utterance in this scripture. There's something prophetic for people here today in this scripture, for certain ones. It kept bubbling up every time I'm studying yesterday, all day long. This scripture just kept bubbling up. Isaiah 49:25, for I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I'll save your children. I'll contend with him that contendeth with you. So who's contending with you right now? They better look out. Maybe somebody's giving you problems on your job. They better look out. Maybe you've got an unfair boss. I'm telling you, that boss has got so much mercy before, if they're really being unfair to you, God will either promote you and get you out, or he'll demote them and get them out. God will fight for you. You don't have to get in a war of words with somebody. You don't have to have the last word. But if they're contending with you and you let God fight your battle, God will have the last word. You may be going through a battle in your health. And You know, a lot of times we say, stand still and see the Lord move. Sometimes it is stand still. It's just totally stand still. Keep silent. Don't say anything. That's what some of the references say. But sometimes the Holy Spirit may tell you, quote scriptures every day. I know in Jesse's healing, he quoted scriptures every day, healing scriptures every day. And that was rhema to him. That's, you know, he did that and he was totally healed of cancer. Okay, now somebody else, it may be, you should possibly do that, but there's other things that you might have to do. He may lead you to change your diet in some ways, or he could lead you to a certain doctor or away from a certain doctor, or to take certain vitamins or to drop off something that you maybe are taking. The Lord can lead us all differently. We think that the Lord leads us all the same, but he doesn't. We're all individual cases. And matter of fact, he might lead us to do something one way one time and lead us the same problem, the same situation comes up, and he says, handle this one differently. When we face a battle, sometimes we get into fear and worry instead of faith and trust. Sometimes we feel like we let our feelings overwhelm us, our emotions overtake us sometimes, and we feel like the Lord has left, and we know in his word he's never left us. We might be going through something hard on us, on our flesh, but the Lord is bringing us through. He's carrying us through it. I'll give you another one. Can I give you I have to give you personal examples sometimes, because that's one of the first jobs that I had was in a mill where they made like potholders and mitts and all that kind of stuff. And one of my jobs was to get the boxes of the stuff and to put it in the warehouse or whatever. And me and another guy were doing it, and had that job for a while. And anyway, I'm doing it, and the guy that I'm working with, he's not doing it. And we're equally responsible for this area with a ton of people. And the supervisor would come out, and she is constantly telling me I need to speed up. And I said, I promise you, I'm going as fast as I can possibly go. And I was. I wasn't goofing off or anything like that. I was doing everything I had, but I'm having to keep mine up and his up. And I can't keep both sections going at the same time. I could keep some of his, about half of his, even three quarters of his, but I couldn't keep it all up. And really and truly, he had favor with the supervisors, because he's just off running his mouth. He's just not working. And they wouldn't say anything about it. They knew it, and they didn't say anything about it. Well, this went on, and I'm praying about it. I'm a baby Christian. I don't know, and I'm praying about it. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you can do about this situation, but something's got to change. And this went on for several months, and then I got another job. Okay, and this other job paid me much. I mean, God rewarded me wonderfully. It was like 2.5 times what I was making previously. Better benefits. Everything was better. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, Lord. And that's all behind me. I never thought about it again. One night, it was almost a year later, I remember the Lord was telling me some stuff in a dream. He told me, I'm going to bless you in this way, and he told me a certain way he was going to bless me and do something for me. And then he told me, he said this man's name. And I'm not going to say the name. He just said this man's name. He said, and he will be fired. And I was like, I woke up from that dream, and I said, that is the strangest. I didn't know it was a God dream. You know what I'm saying? I just thought it was a good dream. It made me feel good. But I said, I wasn't trying to get him fired. I don't even know if any of that is even anything. A few days later, after I had that, I ran into a lady that worked there. She said, you know, how's everything going? I said, it's going great. New job, da-da-da. She said, did you hear about so-and-so? And I said, no, I didn't. She said, oh, yeah, they fired him. I said, they fired him? She said, yeah, he wasn't doing his job. The Lord had already told me he was going to get fired. Now, you can say what you want to say. Okay, now, the Lord didn't do it in my time. My time, I wanted the help while I was working there. But God gave me a better job with better pay, with better benefits, because there's a reward system with the Lord. The Lord will take care of you. You know, sometimes you have to go through stuff. And actually, they couldn't see the deficit as long as I was there anyway, because I was taking up his slack. But when I left, the slack started to show up, and then they started spotting what's going on in the real picture in this thing. You see it. We want God to fight our battles. We must realize we're totally unable to solve the problems ourselves. We can't fight our own battles. Now, you could fight that kind of thing with words. You know, you and me, we can get good on words, and we can, you know, you better do so and so. You better do this. You better do that. You know, and it's on a fleshly level. It has to be dealt with in the spirit. The things that are coming against us, these fleshly battles are actually spirit battles. And they have to be dealt with on the spirit level in order to get to the root of the thing and make it go away. If we keep trying to do it just in the fleshly part of it, we'll wear out. And we'll wear out fast because we're constantly trying to fight our own battles. I know sometimes I'll be going through a mental battle. Y'all ever went through a mental battle? And the enemy is attacking your mind. And I'm learning this. I'm not arrived at this, and I've not arrived at anything I'm teaching today. If you think that's not where you're not listening, because I'm not saying that. I pray to God that it's not coming out that way. I'm saying I'm learning. Sometimes when things are coming against my mind, I'm learning to say, okay, Lord, this is too big for me. I can't handle this. I don't know what to do in this. And Lord, I'm going to have to say, you're fighting my battles. And sometimes I'll just go around saying it to myself. I don't say it to anybody else. Nobody else knows it. I'll just say, I give you that battle's yours. It's not mine. It's bigger than me. I'm unable to do it. Lord, I can't fix it. You'll have to fix it. Lord, it's your battle. It's not my battle. And you know what? The peace will come back on you. Now, I'm not saying the enemy won't try again in the same way, because he will. But you have to do it again. Our battles belong to the Lord. Sometimes we're trying to fight them ourselves, and so the enemy can get in and torment us because we're trying to fight them ourselves. We have to stay out of fear and worry, because really, every time we get into fear and worry over the battles that we are facing or the challenges that are coming against us, when we step into fear and worry, the Lord's no longer fighting it. He had to wait. He had to kind of fold his hands. He's there with us. But he's saying, you know, fear is a disconnector. Worry is a disconnect. And I got to get you where you're not over into fear and worry, because that's that realm that you won't win. You got to get in the spirit where faith is, and you got to say, God, you are fighting my battles. You are. That feeling of fear, that feeling of worry, you have to go past it. You have to let the Lord do it. You have to cast down that imagination. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We have feelings and things that have been said to us in the past that they're always trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we got to let the Lord fight those. He's got it. Sometimes he may have us in our battle, the challenge that's in front of us. He may say, just be completely silent. Don't open your mouth. Don't say a word. Has he ever told you that? Anytime he's ever told me that or give me that impression, when I say told me that, he gives me a strong impression down here. It's when you really want to say a word. You really want, you got the 2 cents. No, you got a dollar and a quarter. You don't have 2 cents. You got a dollar and a quarter. You want to put the whole thing in. I'd give you $5 change for that one. Mm-hmm. Other times, he may give you a scripture to say over and over. Sometimes he'll give you an instruction just to say something, a little short something sometimes. I remember one time there was a situation where a relationship was strained with someone, and the Lord told me, he said, call him. And he said, all you say is, I love you. And then you hang up. You tell him, I love you. That's the only reason I called. Hang up. I did it. Everything was restored just like that. He called back, and I'm talking about everything was just like it always had been. But God will give you a rhema. He knows by the Holy Spirit what for us to do. So sometimes there is something that we do. We are instructed sometimes with an instruction. Sometimes it's just stand still and be quiet. But sometimes there is something that we're supposed to do. Sometimes he just wants us to pray and wait. Other times we have an impression just to praise him and praise him and praise him and praise him. I remember one time there was another situation on the job. This is years later. And I remember this guy was giving me all kind of hard time on my job. And I just, oh man, I was so tired of just going to work and dealing with this joker. Every day. And I'm walking by him one day, and the Lord, three times while I'm coming up to him, the Lord says, ask him to forgive you. God, who are you talking to? I know you don't know about my situation. If you tell me, that can't be right. Ask him to forgive you. A third time he said it, I knew if I didn't do it quick, I wasn't going to do it. Now, I don't know if y'all are like that, but sometimes the flesh and the hard-headedness, I know y'all are not like that. Pray for me that I won't be. But the third time, I wheeled around as I was passing him. I said, if I've ever done anything to you, I'm sorry. I asked you to forgive me. His mouth dropped open. He said, nah, you never done nothing. He never did it again. I had it every day for months, and he never did it again. Can I give you another one? One time we received a summons to appear in court. This is over 30 years ago, over medical bills, over Benjamin's medical bills, unpaid medical bills. We had insurance, and then we had another insurance, and it was two completely separate policies that should have paid every penny. And we couldn't get them. There was red tape in the place. They didn't want to hear that they owed both parts of it. And we got the summons to appear in court. And I'm worried about it. I'll tell you the truth. I didn't know we're going to have to go to Birmingham and go to court. And I said, Lord, I don't know. And we were praying about it and praying about it and praying about it. And I knew, I said, we're going to have to get somebody. We're going to have to get an attorney. I didn't want to get an attorney, but I said, we're going to have to. And so I said, I don't have any idea who to get. And we prayed about it. And there was this guy in Columbus. I saw it and I said, well, let's make an appointment with this guy. And we called this guy in Columbus and met with him, told him the whole story. And he said, that's something. He said, so how did you know we did pro bono stuff? The only one in Columbus that did it at the time. I said, huh? He said, oh yeah, we do all this for free. Oh, man. Huh? You do this for free? He said, yeah. He said, I did this whole thing for free. You talk about God fighting your battle. Oh my God. We said, we don't know what to do, God. Help us. God, please help us. He sent some letters. And he was very well known. And he sent some letters. And the next thing we know, after the second letter, we got this letter. And it was from Birmingham. They said, we are so sorry that we have bothered you or disturbed you in any way. And we apologize. And all of this is dropped. And if there's anything we can ever do for you, please, they said this, please let us know. I was like, yeah, glory to God. But God fought that battle. Some people get God's help more than others. This is true. Now, God didn't have any favorite children, but the ones that acknowledge that they don't know what to do and acknowledge that they need help. If you acknowledge you don't know what to do and you need help, I assure you, you're going to go get help more than somebody else, because God's saying, oh, I'm strong to help you because you're depending totally on me. You're leaning back all the way on me, all your weight, all your care, all your anxiety, once and for all on me. I got this. I got you back. I'll take care of you. I'll go before you make the crooked places straight. I'll go before you make the rough places smooth. I'll make a way when there seems to be no way. I'm going to ask Pastor Sharon if she'd come, and I'm going to give these last three scriptures. Oh, and I have some things that have a scripture on it about the Lord fighting your battles, and I don't know if we've got enough of them, because I had printed out a bunch of them, but I don't think the printer printed them all out, or either I didn't pick them all up at the house. Isaiah 49:25, I myself will oppose those who oppose you, and I myself will save your children. That's in the Common English. And this is Common English, Psalms 35:1. Lord, argue with those who argue with me, and fight those who fight against me. Deuteronomy 3:22, this is in 21st century King James. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, He shall fight for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. That was an awesome word for us today. Amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. He is good. And he sees everything that going on in your life today, and he knows, and he cares, and he's working on your behalf. And the Lord gave me this scripture, so receive this scripture as a word for you from the Lord. Amen. Exodus 14:13 says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." Praise God. Hallelujah. So those that have been coming against you, God is about to move some things around. Amen. God is working right now on your behalf. He's going before you. And he's making a way, as Pastor said, where there seems to be no way. He's on your side today. He's working for you. He's going on your behalf. You don't have to say a word. As a matter of fact, don't say anything. As Pastor said, just learn the vocabulary of silence. Those that are coming against you. The enemy wants us to get in the flesh. He wants us to say something to them. That's just what the enemy wants. So we want to say no to the enemy and just stand firm, as the word said, and watch the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord. See what God will do on your behalf. Amen. And Ashley, you can come at this time.